coming. We are going to let the rest of the people come in, even as we continue to get the people in. I want to give a shout out to those who are joining us for maybe the first, second, or third time. Wilson is relatively new to us. Welcome, Wilson. I think some people are coming in as well. Liying, thanks for joining us. And a few other people are coming in. Let us start by just committing this time to God, even as we look towards Him, as we come to really essentially the last hour of 2021. Come, let's pray. Father, we thank You as we come before You. We ask, O God, that even as we take this time, although late, we thank You for those who have zoomed in. May this time be a time of reflection, fortification, a time of knowing that, God, we are anchoring ourselves on the significance of Your promises and what You'll do in our lives. So, Lord, as we come to the tail end of 2021, as we look to 2022, we ask for Your blessings. We ask for Your hand upon us. We ask that in all things that we do, we see that You are going to bring us from strength to strength, glory to glory, understanding to understanding, from favor to flavor. So watch over every one of my brothers and sisters, young or old. We commit all our lives to You. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for being on time. We never thought about a watch night service until I was just thinking, why don't we just do something like this? I think there's some significance about watch night service. I know some people, they say a church is doing a watch night service at 9 to 10, 10 to 11. But in my mind, watch night must be something that brings us to the clock, 12, and then we take over and then we really say Blessed New Year. I'm not sure about you. If I were to go out to a lot of people, if I go to Malcolm, Clarissa, I say Happy New Year, I'm not sure whether people will really come to me and say, actually, I'm feeling very happy with all the things that have happened in the years, in the last 2 years. Is it really about being a Happy New Year, or is it about a Blessed New Year? Because if we have a Blessed New Year, it is being blessed despite what we're going through. Happiness is dependent on your mood. Maybe today Silas feels happy, but tomorrow he may not feel so happy, you know, because tomorrow is 2022, he's got a new set of whatever he needs to deal with. Vaccination measures kick in. Silas, have you checked already? All your people vaccinated already? Have you done all your measures? Everything done? So, I want to ask us to look towards God, because a lot of things are not within our control, but God is in control of lives. And with that, I want to bring us to, I thought, a passage of the Bible. If your Bible's open, you toggle, you go to Philippians 3, 12 to 16. Philippians 3, 12 to 16. I want to use that as the anchor passage for today, even as I want to share with you a few things that are on my mind. If you will go to Philippians 3, verses 12 to 16, let me just go there as well, and I want to read it first before I go on. Philippians 3, 12 to 16. Let me just go there, will you? I'm going to read from the NIV version. Read full chapter. Verses 12 to 16. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on, the word of God says, to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take a view of such things, and if on some point you think differently, that too, the Word of God says, God will make clear to you. Only let us live to what we have already attained. I like this passage, and even as we talk about being in 252 Agora, Luke 252 says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor of God and man. And I think 2 weeks ago when we last met, I said this, I found another version. It's not only grow, you know, it's kept increasing. Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature in favor of God and man. But as we look towards the end of 2021, as we come to the beginning of 2022, I want to suggest to you that Philippians 3 verses 12 to 16 may be seen to be, and the slides will tell you, may be seen to be a growth process of a Christian. As we come to 2021 to 2022, as we come to that, next slide, 2021-22, the next slide. I want to say to you, Philippians 3, 12 to 16, it can be seen to be a growth process of a Christian. And I want to tell you that in writing this, Paul was already 25 years when he turned from Saul to Paul. He was Saul in Singapore, a legal palace. Now he's like the deputy public prosecutor, persecuting Christians until God met him on his road to Damascus. Saul became Paul, and it has been 25 years. And when he wrote this, It was 25 years upon conversion. So you must understand the context. This is not Paul writing here whereby he's some young 2-month-old Christian. He is a mature Christian, 25 years into conversion. But I suggest to you that this verses 12 to 16 can be seen to be verses that anchors the growth process of a Christian. Today I have 4 L's I want to tell you, and stay awake with me. We will come to 12 midnight very soon. 4 L's which I think you want to look at even as we look at the verses. Now the first L, the first slide that I want to ask you to look at is look. The first word is look. You better ask yourself, look where? And I want to ask you to look now at the verses I've given you. You look to me at verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, Paul says, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, and I press on towards the goal. I suggest to you that when you look at the word look here, there are three things that you can see. Number one, look behind, forgetting what is behind. Verse 13 says, forgetting what is behind. So sometimes you need to ask yourself, are you looking behind? Now, don't get us wrong. I don't think the word of God here says forgetting what is behind, meaning don't ever look back. I don't think so. Sometimes it's good to reflect on what God has done for us. I mean, I have a wonderful testimony of Yip, who is a, later I'm going to talk a bit more about it. But you look behind. You look behind and you reflect on the goodness of God. But you don't keep looking behind. I think Paul is trying to tell us, don't rest on your laurels, don't be too disappointed by the failures behind, but yet at the same time, don't be too buffed up by what you achieved maybe in 2021, because it's gone. I mean, I don't, for example, think, oh, you know, we brought Yip back to Christ, hallelujah, we should be happy with that, but you don't rest on that, and because we won Yip back to Christ, so to speak, or he's coming to church, and that's it, in 2022, we do nothing. No, we keep straining ahead, forgetting what's behind. So I think we need to understand that here, when we use the word forgetting behind, it is to tell us, don't think too much of the past. Don't focus on the past. The past could be the failures or even the successes. Forgetting what is behind. We need to look forward. That's point number one. Number two, you want to look forward. Looking forward means looking towards the future. And that's why verse 13 is quite clear, isn't it? Forgetting what is behind, don't look back. You strain towards what is ahead. You always look forward. And there's a hope for the future. And Star Wars fans always say, there's a hope for the future. You look towards the future. So Paul says, forget what is behind. Don't look behind the past. Look forward, straining towards what is ahead. Okay? And the next thing you want to do is you want to also know that you want to look up, look to the present. And here the word of God says what? Verse 12, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal. I press on towards the goal. I look forward. I look to what is ahead. Okay? I look towards what is ahead. One thing I do. But one thing I do, verse 13 says, but one thing I do. The one thing you do is what you do now. So Paul is saying in verse 13, but one thing I do presently, I forget what is behind, I look forward to what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize. Verse 14 says, I press on, meaning that in the present, he is pressing on. So number one, you look behind. There's a question of looking behind. There's a question of looking forward. There's also the question of looking towards God in the present. Now, the word here is look up, because verse 14 says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. Look where? Heavenward. Heavenward, look up. You don't look down. So we always tell ourselves, don't look down. And you see, when a person is depressed, they don't look up, right? When a person is not doing so well, if you're a mental health practitioner or you're looking someone, when I meet clients, those who are facing persecution, those of criminal proceedings, if I may also say so, when Yip first came to see me, he wasn't really looking up very much, looking down. And if the person's not looking down, the spirit was looking down. So I think the word of God here is very clear. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So I want to say to you, as we come to the last hour of 2021, we need to have the first L. We need to know how to look. Look where? Look behind, it's fine. But don't keep looking behind. Forget about all the past failures and successes, because that may cause you to be stagnating or disappoint you and you don't want to do it anymore. Keep looking forward. Look towards the future. But as you do, Paul says, but one thing I do, meaning that he continues to do that. Gunn, he continues to do that. Malcolm Wilson, one thing I do. One thing I do means present tense. I am doing it. He doesn't say one thing I've done before or one thing I will do in the future. One thing I do. And this is Paul, guys, 25 years into his conversion, speaking like that. Still wanting to push on. First L, look. And sometimes when we look, we need to understand the context. And now what I want to talk about is probably an overlap between the first word look and maybe the second word learn. But I want to give you a story. There were two monks. Monks came to a river in Japan, let's call it Japan, very cold, and they're about to cross over the river. An old woman came, and the old woman was too frail, too weak, and needed someone to carry. So the old monk carried her on her shoulders, on her back, and brought that old lady across the swollen waters to the other side. And once he's done that, he was walking, and then the second monk, who also crossed the river, came to the first monk and said, "Hey, first monk, let's call him Philip. Hey, Philip, do you know that? Aren't we not supposed to touch the woman? Why you go and carry the woman?" To which the first monk, who already carried, faced the old woman, no other names. I turned to Philip and I'll say, "I already carried Faith over. I'm done already." But guess what? You're still carrying Faith in your mind. So sometimes when we look at something, we also must look at it in the context. And this ties in nicely with, I think, was it Royston who, on the 11th of December, when I was away, he talked about the principle of the place, right? In John 5, the person was an invalid. Jesus came and healed him. He was, 38 years or something, just lying there. He said he couldn't get into the waters to be healed. But when he was healed, it was on Sabbath. Was it not, Royston? It was on Sabbath. And when the Pharisees and the Sadducees or whatever sees you call them, they came, what did they think of? The only thing they thought of was the law was broken, healing took place on the Sabbath. They completely missed the point. And sometimes when we look at something, we need to understand the context. Otherwise, we do not get to learn something. So I want to suggest to you the first L, as you look in the Philippians 3, the first L you want to think of is look. The question is, look where? And finally, can I suggest to you, whatever you do, it is the next slide. You look towards God. Look towards God. Let Him take hold of you. Look up. Look behind. Look forward. Look at the past, which is fine to some extent. Look future. There's a hope. And the present, look ahead and always be looking towards God. You must understand that whatever you do, it is to, at the end of the day, be it backwards to some extent, in the future or in the now, you look towards God. When you look towards God, understand something. And I want to go back to the undergirding passage that we talked about. In verse 12, he says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my own goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me." Paul is saying here, I press on in the now, in the present, to take hold of that for which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Paul was motivated by what? Paul was motivated by whatever that God was putting in his heart. He just wanted to press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of him, Paul. What has God done? Is God taking hold of you? Are you consumed by what God wants you to do? And maybe not so much in 2021, but will you be consumed? Will you be standing by whatever God wants you to do for 2022? That's something you want to think about. First, look towards God. And I want to give you the second L that I thought is interesting from reading Philippians 3. The second L I have is learn. And at 11:20, when I show you this slide, I'm sure you'll wake up. Learn. Your attitude sucks. Look at verse 16. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. That's verse 15. I read one more time for all of us. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. That suggests that when we want to learn something, you must understand that sometimes, even when you think differently, God will make clear to you. That presupposes that your attitude is good and you're able to learn something from God when God speaks to you. Okay, I want to just leave that as a thought, and I want to now go back to Yip. I had a good time just chatting with Yip and some of the his cell, TG and Wing and Stanley and the rest came to visit me. Yip was talking about something that was so interesting. Yip was in prison, some of you know, right? Wonderful testimony. He was, unfortunately, had to spend some time because of an accident case. And in the first 16 days when he went in, guys, first 16 days, quarantine, he was in his own cell by himself. 16 days, 1-6. And in that cell, it's not like it's not a hotel room, guys. Little cell, a bit of sunlight. There's a button for you to press. The button's not for you to press for room service. Room service, tang, and Philip come and give you the food. Only when you're very sick, maybe you press. So for 16 days, and because of COVID and quarantine, they didn't have even a time for you to go out there to walk 1 hour in the yard, in the zone. He was there 16 days by himself. If there's an award for the prettiest looking person who has come out from a prison, I tell you, I'll vote Yip anytime. And in my almost 30 years of experience, I've seen people come out from jail. He looks assured. He looks like he met God. He looks like he enjoyed himself in prison. And we were just talking, and then we were just talking with TG and the rest, and then he'll say, "Oh, my cellmate had this. I was thinking, then for a while I was thinking, is he talking about TG or whatever? He said, "My cellmate, actually, you know who he's talking about? He's talking about those people he met inside there. Those people who call him a new bird, because the rest was there, were there 20 times. One of them 20 times because of some drug, another one 3 times or whatever. Then they say, "Hey, Yip, you here for what? Oh, for driving. You new bird." And then he said, my cellmate. I was thinking, what cell? Then I thought, actually, it's his real cellmate. But guess what? Yip's attitude didn't suck. Because if his attitude sucked, he would have come out a different man, not the way you saw him. And if his attitude had sucked, he wouldn't have been able to garner the favor of people like the boss Silas, because he would have lost interest in work, he would have not given his best, if you are going to go into jail, work so hard for what? Yip, are you for real? I'm from here trying to touch you from Zoom. Are you for real? Going to go in, still work so hard? I remember asking to come to church and say, I think I better clear the work first. Unless you're telling me Silas is some evil witch or master. Is Silas there on the Zoom? Is that Silas? That's Silas. Are you the witch that calling to work so hard? Going into jail still work so hard. But his attitude didn't suck, and therefore God was able to use him and God was able to teach him. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Guys, if we are to go in from 2021 to 2022, not only must you look and know where to look, you must know how, in what basis, on what platform that you will be able to learn. And so that verse 15 comes to you and God will make clear to you, even on some things you think differently. And some things we may think differently because we have preconceived notions. Don't go and cancel someone just because I disagree with you. "Oh, Philip, I disagree with something, I cancel you." It is okay to agree to disagree. Otherwise, I tell you, show the next slide, you will be a fool. A fool is someone, and I wanted to show you what a fool believes. That's my favorite song. Philip will tell you this song title, "What a Fool Believes," is by Doobie Brothers. But let me show you what a fool believes. Proverbs 8:2-3. Some of you can go to your Bibles. I just paraphrase for you. Proverbs 8:2-3. Let me go for you to Proverbs 8:2-3. My Bible is tagging a bit. Proverbs 8:2-3. I paraphrase for you. Proverbs 18:2-3. I got it. "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but only that his heart may reveal itself." That's one ASB version. I go to New International Version, NIV. Here it says, "Fools find no pleasure in understanding. They delight in airing only their own opinions." Don't be a fool. A fool only don't want to understand anything. Have you met people? Sometimes I tell you, my wife will tell you, and some of my colleagues will tell you, Daniel doesn't listen. He only listens to himself. Silas, do you listen to yourself? Nodding. But we don't listen to people. A fool is not interested in understanding anything. They just want to air their own opinion. And I am guilty of that. Especially if you're a 30-year-old lawyer, you think, all these juniors don't talk so much. I think this is the way to do. No, you talk. Shut up. Just listen to me. Just do this. So tempting, right? But watch it. By 2022, when you go in, listen to people. Proverbs 1, 5 to 7. If you go to Proverbs 1, 5, 7, 5, 7 goes to say this. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Isn't it? When the wise listen, they are adding to their learning. The attitude is good. And let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. Otherwise, the word of God says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. That is verse 7. But fools despise wisdom. And I like this interpretation. I think it's in the Jewish Bible. It says, but the wise despise, the fools despise wisdom and discipline. They despise discipline. Remember what I talked about, the fruitful branch? If God is going to make us, if you already bang some fruit, God wants you to be more fruitful, God will prune you. Remember the haircut? Your haircut wouldn't look so nice, right? The first few days, God will prune you. But guess what? The fools will despise wisdom and discipline. They don't want to get pruned. Proverbs 18:13. The fool sprouts off before listening to the facts. It is both shameful and foolish. Some of us, you know, we get more senior as a banker, as a lawyer, not only we talk so much, we don't even finish listening to the facts, we just shoot off. It is both shameful and foolish. Certainly not the kind of attitude you need in order to learn. And a lot of things we need to learn in 2022. Even as lawyers, the rules keep changing. Next year in April, they change the rules of court. The rules that govern us have been around for many years. Now, it is all changed. Next year, from April, it's no April Fool's joke. Things have to be done differently. So we're constantly learning. Those people in IT, look at people like Philip, they're changing all the time. You ask Philip what is Zoom 4 years ago, he knows nothing. What is Zoom? Some ice cream? Some movie? What Zoom? But we keep learning as we go along the way. The next one is Proverbs 26:11. It's my personal favorite. Guys, those who love animals, listen to this. Just as a dog returns to his vomit, a fool repeats his folly. You can't learn and you will keep repeating something that is foolish. Why? You either don't listen or you don't listen to the facts. You just spout off. You just want to hear your own opinion. Sometimes you just want to hear yourself, you know. Some of us, maybe me lah. My voice so nice. Gun, is my voice nice? Can you put a thumbs up now? Malcolm, are you looking at me? Malcolm, are you there? Hello? My voice nice? So I just feel like listening to myself. A fool will just want to listen to themselves. And guess what? Then you keep repeating. And I tell you, God is classic. When you make a mistake, you don't learn, right? It will keep coming back. Is that your experience? That's my experience. Then I will find that, why am I doing this wrong again? And then I'll say, jin sick leh. Have I done this? Have I not done this cock up before? It keeps repeating and repeating and repeating. That's classic manifestation of foolishness for you. Psalms 14:1, very sobering. And please, we speak not in judgment, but only fools in their heart say there's no God. Only fools in their hearts say there's no God. Everything in our life on earth points to the fact there's a God. Only God can be the answer to so many things we cannot answer. That will be something I want to leave for another day, but Psalms 14:1, and please, if you don't believe in a God at this point in time, I want to just say to you, this is the word of God, go and check it out, learn about it, but only fools in their hearts say there's no God. So the second L I want to tell us, even as we come to the end of 2021, half an hour more, really, number one, look. Number two, learn. Attitude. Please get it right so that verse 15 can come true. That too, God will make clear to you if you are thinking anything differently. The attitude must be good. Joe, you got to ask your husband, DG. He must be missing you in bed. Every morning I hear you're waking up at 4 a.m., right? Go where? 4 a.m. to read, don't know what, Bible or listen to whatever. What a tremendous testimony. If your attitude is right, you're going to learn a lot of things. Giving up your sleep, not to watch K-drama, but really to just listen to podcasts or the materials or YouTubes about God and God's people and His messages. What a fantastic attitude. How can you not learn? Look at people like Yip. I look at him, I am so amazed. If you put me 16 days in a jail, single cell, I tell you, I will knock myself against the wall. And because of Yip now, I drive very carefully. I don't want to go to jail. Any of you heard about the red Mercedes-Benz that was it on 23rd of December? 23rd of December, right? Tampines. A few cars came, stopped, stationary, a Mercedes-Benz. I saw some of the video footages, some of you in Mothership. The Mercedes-Benz came at a tremendous speed, went past the green railing, the metallic railings, and knocked to the first car. The first car shifted to the left. I think there's a motorcyclist between the first and second car. The second car on the second lane shifted to the third lane, and then third car shifted and so forth. I didn't know until I checked properly, and then a WhatsApp message came. The guy who passed on is a friend of mine. His name is Ken Wong. We grew up together in my old church. I remember good old days. Before I was married, I would meet him every Monday classic. We'll go out for dinners together. He's an artist. He died. He was the one that I think was in a Grab vehicle, two passengers behind. Absolutely no chance. Red Mercedes-Benz came hurtling down. I think the reports say that he was caught in the pillar or something. He was underneath the wreckage. The hydraulics had to come and pull him out. He didn't survive. I think the death cert said impact at 11 p.m., passed on 12:01. What a waste of life. Will we learn something from this? Do we drive responsibly? I'm sure God will, punishment, there will be due punishment for the red Mercedes driver, but what do we learn from all these things? Do we also learn something that we don't know when we are going to go? As we come to the end of 2021, as we go to 2022, will we learn something? Life is transient. You actually don't know when you're going to go. Ken didn't know. Ken was not even making a turn, and then he misjudged, or he could have been a bit slow. There's nothing he could do. The red Merc just came. You never know when your time is going to go. Do we learn something for all the things that happen around us? Do we learn that you don't take for granted that tomorrow you'll be alive? So whatever things you need to do to love people, to learn something, to really do the work of God, are you doing something that needs to be done? It's interesting how even last year's very prominent accident, I won't mention which one, but you probably may know, I'm involved. And this one, this year's most prominent accident, I'm helping the wife, young lady from Vietnam. I'm seeing her, I think, on Tuesday. That's life. I'm shocked. But that is life. Will we look? Will we learn? Will we love? The third L. Will we, in 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of God constrains us. The love of God compels us. The love of God controls us. Will we, in 2022, love unconditionally? You know, the Word of God says, I think I talked about it last week, or was it 2 weeks ago when I talked about how you need to be fruitful and, you know, you have to remain in God. And then suddenly, in John 15, you see a turn. Out of a sudden, the Word of God changes and say, talk about remaining in the community and loving the people of God, the community. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, love your neighbor as yourself. Whoever your neighbor may be. Your neighbor could be your neighbor next door at the next unit, even as you sit in the Zoom now. Your neighbor could be your Zoom, your person that is sitting next to you when you go back to your office in 2022. But guess what? Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you don't love yourself, or you hate yourself, how are you going to love your neighbor? So I want to also tell you, love yourself. Really love yourself, and then maybe you have a chance of also loving the neighbor. You learn so much from loving someone. Loving someone is a commitment. Loving someone, it is it's not a feeling, it's not emotion. So for couples who are struggling, and I know of couples struggling, guys, in 2022, guts down. Life is transient. Learn. Look, learn, and love. And I think the word of God in 1 Philippians says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. 1 Philippians 1:21, it is Paul who says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Another L. I urge you to live. And when you live, for example, we say, what is Royston? Royston is running. Because when you look at Royston, it's all about him being very fit to run. So Royston is running. Here you say, to live is Christ. When we live for Christ. In 2022, as you come to the 24 minutes before the countdown, will you take this opportunity later when we pray to say to live is Christ? There are three categories of people that you want to think about even as you come to the end of 2022. My favorite author, C.S. Lewis, says this. There are three kinds of people in this world. Three kinds, guys. The first class is of those who live simply for their own sake and pleasure. Not sake, S-A-K-E, but own sake. This first class is people who live simply for their own sake and pleasure, regarding both men, other people, and nature as so much raw material to be cut up into whatever shape that may serve them. I think Kitty's listening now. Kitty, who's working but able to just listen to us, welcome. I always tell her, and I think she remembers it in her profile, she says, love people, use machines. Don't use people and love machines. In 2022, will we love people and use machines, not use people and love machines? So to live is Christ, but there are three categories of people, C.S. Lewis says. The first are those who live simply for their own sake and pleasure. Or chuck anything else, they live for their own. They are God unto themselves. They regard man as nature as so much as raw material to be cut up, to be used, whatever shape may serve them. There's a need for us to be environmentally conscious. If we all just do our thing, if you're supposed to switch off the aircon, you don't switch off. Actually, can take one car, take two cars, if not take three cars. Some things actually don't need to do, you do. And it causes us to consume more than we do. Some clothes actually no need to buy, still buy. One day can only wear one pair of shoes, but we have 725 pairs of shoes. And your name is not Marcos. I ask us to think about the first class of people who live simply for their own sake and for their own pleasure. That's not living in Christ for sure. The second class are those who acknowledge some claim upon them, the will of God upon their lives. They honestly try to pursue their own interests no further than this claim will allow. So they try to do good. How does C.S. Lewis compare them to? They try to surrender to the higher claim as much as demands. So these people in the second class, they are like taxpayers, but they hope, like taxpayers, after paying tax, whatever they have left, enough for them to live on. That's the second class. Their life is divided. Sometimes they are on duty, off parade, so very kangkor, you know, because they want to do good, but yet at the same time, they also want to satisfy their own sick and pleasure. That's the second class. The third class is those who just say, like Paul says, to live is Christ. The old has gone. They have reconditioned themselves. They have become a new being. The will of Christ no longer limit their own will because they live by the will of God. All their time, all their belongings, whatever they have, belongs to Him. That is why they become a good steward. And we talk about being stewards of God, right? Nothing belongs to them. To live is Christ. Their time, their belonging, their talents, their gifts. Remember we talked about it last week? They steward, they are the servant, the five talents. They do anything and everything for the glory of God. For they are His. And these people, when they do that, the second class, you must understand things. The second class are the people who are always necessarily unhappy, because they always want to do something. The old self want to do something, but then the new self trying to know God better, trying to do God's will, they always have that tension. And guess what? You and I, probably a lot of us, belong to the second class, isn't it? You don't belong to the first class whereby there's no God. If there's no God, you won't be here, right? But a lot of us are not third class here, right? To live is Christ. We are in the second class. You and I perhaps struggling. But how about in 2022, 20 minutes from now, we say, God, Paul says, and I want to be like Paul, to live is Christ. The price of Christ is to want Him. And guess what? This is what C.S. Lewis says. It is true that the wanting itself will be beyond our power, but for one fact, the world is so built that to help us desert our own satisfactions, they desert us. War and trouble, and finally, old age, and all of us get old, and old age, take from us one by one all those things that the natural self hoped for and setting up. Whatever we want, as a second class category, we want something, or the first class, always want something. Guess what? As you get older, as the world passes you by, it will just pass you by. Whatever you want now, it will pass you by. Today, one Jaguar. Tomorrow, one Tesla. Then next one is new. It's okay. If God gives you a new car, that's fine. But if you keep wanting just those material things and you don't live for Christ, just because you live for Christ doesn't mean that you can't enjoy these things. Don't get me wrong. But the attitude must be that you want to live. And to live is Christ. That is what I want to say to you, even as we come to the fourth L. You look, you learn, you love, and as you live to live is Christ. Your own will, partly your own will, or His will. I ask you later when we pray, perhaps it's something that you can think about. Will you come to God and say, God, to live is Christ. Whatever I want to do, my time, my belongings, whatever I do, it is something I want to do so that I can bring glory to you. Go back to Philippians 3, verse 12 to 16, and I thought it's also something that you want to look at. Even as we come almost to the end, if you look at verse 16, all of us then, at verse 15, who are mature should take such a view of things. This is Paul speaking, mind you. All of us then who are mature. So that tells you something. Paul considers himself mature. And I think rightly so, right? After 25 years. And a lot of us here, if I were to ask you on Zoom, how many of us have been Christians for, say, more than 10 years? A lot of you should be putting up their hands. So those who are mature should take such a view of things. It is okay. Paul is not boasting. He's just saying that some of us are mature. But guess what? You can be mature in faith, but your input, your output for God is not very mature, no? Because some of us are just very mature, and then you say, actually, there's nothing for me to learn. I'm only 25 years as a Christian, or 40 years. Nothing new under the sun for me. No, you do anything. That is not having that conducive attitude for learning, isn't it? So here Paul says, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things, so that if you think differently on something, even though he at 25 years of conversion, and some of us, if not more than that, also about 10 or 20 years of being a Christian, you must be mature enough so that when God speaks to you, God can change your mind, because your attitude is always to learn, so that God too can make things clear to you. And I want to end by saying that in verse 16, if you look at verse 16, it says this: only let us live up to what we have already attained. Only live up to what we have already attained. I think this is the last L. In 2022, I urge you, live up. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. There is a certain living up to what we stand for. Can we, in 2022, live up to what we have already attained? Live up to what God expects us to do. In my work, I have different kinds of people work for me. I have someone who was me for 10 years, more than 12 years, very loyal, ITE graduate, can't spell to save his life, he can't come and see me for any dictation, he can't type for me. Because if he sits there and type for me, I tell you, it's either he die or I die first. I propose nobody die working for me. Then there's some people who come to me and I say something, dictate, they type very fast. But for that person who can't type very fast, I know what he's capable of. I know his maturity. I know his competency. I know how good. I know his strength. I know his weaknesses. I give him the work that is at his level. But when he does something wrong, I say, hey, friend, you sure this is something that you should be doing at this level? Because I expect him to know that at this level, this is not to be expected. But there's some things that you know it is beyond him. So I don't like scold him for something that I know it's not his level. But if it's something in his level, I'll tell him. And I really treasure him for being 13, 14 years with me. Karen will be saying, my goodness, this fella after so many years can still tahan you. I also say, I don't know how he can tahan me. But what a wonderful worker. But we always take a person for what they are in terms of the maturity, in terms of their competence, isn't it? So marketers, people, as we continue to also go into 2022, may we as employers, as people of influence, learn to really look at people and help all of us to attain a level whereby verse 16 will come true. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. There's a need to measure up. There's a need to punch at a certain level. Don't just be mature in the number of years you know God, but be mature in your output. Be mature in always wanting to learn. In being mature, always wanting to do the work of God. As I recall Yip's testimony, as I look at Jo, she's coming in, what a great attitude she has. As I look at my friend Ken, who's just life, just no warning. Just got married recently, just gone. Totally gone, no warning. The mother is, I think, heartbroken, 85, still surviving. I'm seeing the wife, I don't know what to say when I see her. What can you possibly say to someone who's lost their husband just like that? But it's with an attitude of love. It's an attitude of looking towards God, asking God to give us. When you look towards God, He will give us the right things to say. When we look at some situation like this, we learn something so that when the next unfortunate accident comes, we know better how to deal with people. We learn how to love people, love your neighbors, yourself. We learn how to look towards God who will give us whatever resources we need. So in 2022, as we come to the end, another 12 minutes, my mobile says, I think it's a good time for us to just come and pray to God. If you have your kids together with you, with your wives, you, I suggest we huddle, and I want us to look at the prayer items for 2022. And today I wear this t-shirt for a reason. I think we need to pray for Singapore. Singapore is our nation. And if you happen to be not a Singaporean, but you're in Singapore for time such as this, maybe you can't even go home if you want to. Singapore, you've been called to be here for such a season. And for us as citizens, Singapore is a great country. We need to pray for our government. It's not perfect. And some of the measures that we have, perhaps is causing a lot of disgruntled people. Perhaps there's some people who may have to look at certain avenues because the some things in their lives that are affected. But will God come through for us so that it's the wisdom on high that will just undergird our nation as we come to the end? 10 more minutes before the end of 2021. Joe asked me, what's the title of this sermon? I said, no title. It's the title of this sermon is untitled. Because your 2022 is what you script it out to be. And head of the household, especially for people who are married, Gan, Silas, and the rest of us who are married, Malcolm, and so forth. It is for us, not perfect, but it's the head of household. How about we script it so that we allow God to come and make our lives count for Him? Isn't it wonderful that we have a person of Paul to look at? But know something, and I end with this. In verse 10 at the top, he says, in Philippians 3, verse 10, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Paul wanted to know the power of God's resurrection, the resurrecting power of God in his life. But guess what? He also wanted to participate in the sufferings of Christ. No one said that when you become a believer, that you won't suffer. How many of us are suffering at work? Some of us are suffering because we have physical impediments. Some are suffering because financially are not doing so well. I know someone I just spoke to a couple of days back. paying off a debt because of some flawed investment. We all learn. We go through. Every action is consequence. God will help us if our attitude is right and we look towards Him. So, take up your slides as you see it. I want to ask you to begin to pray. Will you just gather with your children if they're around? Gather with your wife. I ask Karen to just come with me, Phillips with Faith, and the rest of you. Will you just come and I want to lead us to just pray. But when you pray, really pray for your family together as you come. And we count down to the end of 2022. I'm finishing at the perfect time, 11:51. A couple of minutes for every prayer item. Karen can just come forward as well. We just pray at the side. Can we all pray together? The first one is you. Take this opportunity to really pray for yourself in 2022. Pray for you. Pray for yourself in terms of what we've talked about looking towards God for the future and even in the now, of learning from Him, of loving people, of saying that to live is Christ, to have a good attitude, to really just come and live up to what we have already attained. So will you just come before God as you begin to pray? Let's pray, and then we will go on to the next verse, to the next sector. Let's pray first for yourself. Royston, pray for yourself. Shireen, pray for yourself as an individual. Let us pray. Ten more seconds before we just go on to the next. After you pray for yourself, let's pray for family. And that's where it's a good time for you to be with your family, your wife, or whoever you have with you. Let's pray for your family together. let's wrap up the just praying for your family. Can we pray for our church as we come to 252? Let's pray that God will give us the opportunity in 2022 to reach out to many people. I've seen Yip. We thank God for Yip, just one example, but so many people who as they come and join us, Lord, we want to pray that we'll be able to just be a blessing to the people that will just come into our midst. Father, we thank you for those who are joining us, people by Ling, and I know that even Ling's boss is here. Lord, thank you for speaking to them. And I know that Ling's boss is there. Lord, I want to just speak a word to her. The Lord is saying to you that the time is now for you to come back. So Father, we thank you that you're doing a new work in 252 Agora. Lord, may we all grow in wisdom and in stature. We keep increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Give us all good attitudes so that Lord will be a tremendous blessing in this church. The word that comes from the pulpit, whoever is speaking, may we speak with the fear of God. May we not be foolish. May the fear of God be the beginning of wisdom. I pray that Lord, even as you cover all the church members, that Lord, they will be prepared to learn new things, learn to do new things for God, learn to do things that are uncomfortable, learn to receive counseling, learn to really consider others better themselves, learn to work as one, so that Lord, in 2022, all the fruitful branches in 252 Agora will move in one direction, so that Lord, this church will be able to glorify the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for a time such as this. And I want to pray also now for the workplace and school. Let's begin to pray now for all your children, whatever school, name them, and also name the workplace, be it in the army, the bank, or the law firm, wherever you're working, just articulate it. If you're a homemaker, then your home, your vocation, where the Lord has placed you, your occupation, may you just have that proper attitude so that as you live in 2022, it will be a glory to God, even in the workplace, in the marketplace, and in the school. And for those who are able to, Lord, may they speak forth with boldness and with compassion so that many people will be invited to know you in church, that they will come to church, and these people in the workplace will have their needs met by the people of God, the church members here, who will go back to the workplace and be doing things that will bring glory to your name. So Father, we pray for a marketplace revolution. We thank you that Lord, as we just hearken our hearts, as we soften our hearts, many people will come to know you, because when they hear of your word, they also hear that the representative of God, the person, the church member that is in the workplace, is malleable, is teachable, and because they're able to do that, they're able to just expound the values of God. The Lord, they will not be foolish, they'll be looking towards God, and as God lay hold of us, we'll all be doing the things that will bring glory to his name. And now, last but not least, as we come to the last minute where we pray for the nation of Singapore, I ask you to pray for the nation. Pray that the government will continue to do well. Even as the budget will come in February, will the people of God just support the nation? May the government leaders, as we submit to them, give them wisdom. So Father, we thank you for Singapore. May they give good policies. May they be able to just get it right, especially for the COVID-19 situation, which is coming even into the third year. Lord, we pray for a breakthrough. We pray that, Lord, there will be healing. We pray that, Lord, there will be no polarization of the Singapore society. That, Lord, there will be no polarizing in terms of the vax against the unvax. I pray, oh God, that you will see us through. I pray that there will be respectful dialogues. I pray that, Lord, the people of God will continue to support this nation, and this nation will grow, to be continue to grow in its positioning as the Antioch of Asia, so that, Lord, will be a blessing to those who come. Father, as we come to midnight, we thank you as we cross over, that Lord, in 2022, we say that Lord, the battle belongs to you. I pray for all of us here, that Lord, in Jesus' name, that you anoint all my brothers and sisters, young and old, so that Lord, they will grow from favor to flavor and have abundant life in 2022. The Lord bless you. The Lord's face shine upon you. The Lord give you grace. The Lord give you a good job. The Lord prosper you. The Lord cause you to do well in school. Because as you fear God, that's the beginning of wisdom. I pray for you for promotions, and I pray for you for good attitudes. I pray for you that God will surprise you, that you'll be able to bring many people to the saving knowledge of Christ. I pray for you that you'll be able to tell of your testimony. I pray for you that you'll be able to stand up for God, so that when people take positions that are against the word and the position that we know that is of God, we'll be able to defend the gospel. Lord, give us the desire to see this nation, our families, our close friends, our contacts, our colleagues, and people, even who we meet for the first time, come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Father, we thank you, we bless you, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Guys, blessed New Year. Thank you for staying up. We see you next Saturday on 8th of Jan. We resume service as normal. God bless you. Blessed New Year, guys. Thank you for staying up. God bless you. See you. Bye-bye.